Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Doctrine Detox Podcast. This is episode number 35, and today I'm joined by Essence Snipes. How you doing, Essence?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. I got my second COVID shot yesterday, and it's kicking my butt pretty bad, but all will be well, and it's all for the sake of immunity.
Exactly.
So, Essence and I have one of those really unique relationships in that she and I have a lot of mutual friends, but I don't think we've ever actually met in person. Like, we just know a lot of the same people. So yeah. That's always fun. But she contacted me and said that she's got a really great story to share, and I'm super, super excited to hear it. So without further ado, Essence, let's just dive right in. What is your religious background?
Yeah, so it's kind of weird. Well, I like to say it's weird. So for me, growing up, my church was, I've actually been at the same church all my life. Most people can't really say that. They'll be like, oh, I've moved here and there, blah, 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 which that's not a problem. But my church has always been the same. So my church at first was called Cornerstone Tabernacle. Like, I think probably when I was in middle or high school, it converted to Cornerstone Life Center. So I guess from when I was younger, I guess you can say it was kind of like that. It had a Baptist feel, but at the same time, it didn't. So I don't even really know how to explain it. Like, there was just a turning point at one point in the tenure of the church, and it was like a lot of people were leaving. So a lot of people were leaving because the way my pastors were teaching, they didn't really agree with it. And they were like, wait a minute, no, that's not how it's supposed to be. And they left.
What kind of doctrine were they preaching?
So for a long time, for like, I guess most of my childhood, they were really heavy with, like, I guess, I always call it like the Baptist culture. And my church is actually non-denominational, but really, let's just be completely honest. My church was like OD, super OD black, okay? Yeah, like most people would be like, oh, so like, for one, let's just start here. When I was younger, I went to a private school, and there's mostly Caucasians there. I'm not going to lie. I was probably one out of eight black people in the school.
Mm-hmm. I attended the same private school as you for the first couple of years of my schooling, and it was an unfortunately white school to go to.
Yes. It's not a melting pot at all. So I kind of had like a, what is that called when you go into a place that you have no clue? It's like, I don't even know what to call it. It'll come back to me.
I
was like, yeah, like when I went to public school, it was, oh, culture shock. It was culture shock.
Yes.
I was like, oh my God, what are these people doing? But so it was kind of weird because going from that environment for private school and then going into my church, it was like two different worlds, because here in school I'm surrounded by a lot of, you know, Christianity and Bible verses, and you do this and this, and if you don't do this, you're going to hell. And I was like, whoa, wait, what? And then you go to church, it's kind of similar, but it's like a little bit more culture added to it. So, you know, you have laying of the hands, you have speaking in tongues, you have the pastors praying over you, casting out demons, all that good stuff. So it was just like going between those two worlds was like, what is going on? And I'm not gonna lie, like when I was younger, I was a little bit confused, but as I got older, I was like, oh, okay, I kind of understand it now. But the thing is, now my church, like I said, it did convert a little bit. So at one point it was strictly like, you know, oh, we're gonna follow the Bible all the way, and the Bible is the only thing that you need to follow. And then when my pastor started, you know, straying away from that and using other forms of, you know, religion or books or other types of doctrine, the members will be like, hey, wait, what are you doing? Well, you said it was just the Bible. Why are you trying to go somewhere else? You need to stay on the straight and narrow. But I really do love and appreciate my pastors so much. I wouldn't say that I'm like a religious person. And people who know me and they probably listen to this, they're going to be like, oh my God, what? And if they need to, you know, if they have concerns, that's cool. Come talk to me. But for me, I don't think that I'm a religious person, because just of how the teachings from my church have been teaching me from when I was in about middle school up to now, they've made like a lot of things clearer to me, and I really appreciate that, because I'm not gonna hold you, like, talking about if you don't do this, and if you don't cross every I and dot every T, you're going to hell. I don't believe that, because let me tell you, religion as a whole, I was like, this is bamboozling to me. For one, my first experience with like religion other than my church was Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh goodness.
Yeah. So I live out, if you know me, and you know my family, we live out in the middle of nowhere, like the country. No stoplights, cows, the little haystack, the little ball that rolls around.
The tumbleweeds.
That's where I live. Yeah, little tumbleweeds. That's where I live at. So I remember when I was younger, there would be these people, and they would come by our house and knock on the door, and they were like, "Hi, would you like to learn about Jesus Christ today?" And they would like ask my grandma all these questions, and I was like, "What?" And my grandma would read this, and she was like, "Only 100,000 people go to heaven. What?" And I was right. Like, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense, wait. And I'm like, this is all over the world, it has to be, right? So is there like a certain amount of people that go every year? How does that work? Like, what happens? So from that point, I was confused about religion, and I was like, nah, that's not how it works, it can't be. And then, you know, I had other friends from other religious backgrounds who, you know, I had people who are Muslim, who are Buddhist, and I was just like, okay, religion is basically, we're all doing the same thing. We are all giving thanks to one person or someone that's higher above us, I guess you can say. And it's just like, that's fine. If that's what you want to believe, that's cool. But my biggest thing with religion is Christianity. Like, I always say that Christians are lunatics. Like,
oh, yeah.
They are insane. And I just don't understand how people can be so, they say they are loving and they're doing the work of God and all this other stuff, but then you turn around and you condemn for someone for, you know, their sexuality or their beliefs and health choices and stuff like that. That's not of God to me. Like, God wouldn't sit here and be like, oh, well, you're doing this, I don't love you.
Right.
That's not how it works.
Yeah,
that's not,
I know.
How it works.
I know God is described as like a loving father, and the love that he has for us simply can't be understood, because even the most loving feeling you've ever felt is like filthy rags compared to him. And to go around and say, "Oh, well, God's not going to let you into heaven because, you know, you're gay or because you're wearing mixed fabrics or because you're eating shrimp or whatever." It's ridiculous. Now, I know a lot of like reformed Christians, well, I call them reformed, sort of like the new non-denominational, the sort of quote-unquote hip churches, including the one I went to, talk about how it's not a religion, it's a relationship. What are your thoughts on that?
I absolutely agree. And yeah, the thing is, like, with those, you know, the newer churches, and, you know, being so intact with social media and stuff, that's all cool and stuff, but it really is about the relationship. I'm the type of person that I'm not good at selling stuff. Like, I remember going to retreats at BCA, and I think I told you this before, like even before the interview, like I would be so confused as to why my friends would get saved every single retreat.
Uh-huh.
Like, didn't you already do this one time?
Yeah, so, that's something that I spoke with Jesse Rogers about in the last episode.
I was highly confused. I'm like, you've already did this. So why do you have to keep on reiterating your faith and your belief in him when you did that a year ago, you know? And then, you know, sometimes people do it every other Sunday. You don't have to do that. And one big thing is at my church, and I've had people disagree with this. The thing is, if God has made you in his image, like, he's already within you, and that's just what I believe. Like, he's in you, and you have a relationship with him, just like you have your own personal relationship with yourself. You're building yourself up, you're seeking growth, and yada yada yada. It's the same way with God in your own personal relationship. That's why I would be so confused as to why people would get saved every other Sunday. You don't have to do that. You don't. If you would like to, cool, but you don't have to.
Do you think the same is true for people who have never accepted Jesus Christ into their life?
That's another thing. So let me tell you, Adrian, with my church, you can accept Jesus. That's fine. But we believe that, like, he's already created you. He's already within you. There's no need to accept something that's already within you.
Interesting.
And that can, that can be super confusing for some people. And it's just like, it's hard to explain different practices that I've learned to people who are not, you know, attending my church. And they'll be like, what? And I'm just like, I don't even want to explain it because you're going to get freaked out.
Well, if you've listened to previous episodes of this podcast, you'll know that one thing that I'm really interested in is other denominations within Christianity and their conditions for salvation. And I know that the conditions that I was brought up with were that you had to confess in Jesus, you had to believe in him and accept him into your life. And like, for example, Pentecostals believe that you have to follow a much stricter guideline. And then, of course, you know, you were talking about Jehovah's Witnesses and only 100,000 of them will go to heaven. So in your church, if you don't have to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, if he's already in your heart, what are your conditions for salvation?
So that's the thing, which is also crazy. Like, there are no conditions.
Interesting. So like everyone goes to heaven?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's so hard to explain sometimes to people. Like, I literally tell people, like, for you to understand, I wish, like, you could just come to my church. Or, you know, they're not in church right now, of course, because of COVID still, and they're older, so they're like, eh, we can do this virtually. So I just, like, you know, encourage people to watch their services online just to, like, get a better feel of how they're saying things. They've always said, like, they still stick to some of the things that they say, like, such as, you know, you can't accept Christ into your heart and all that stuff. But it's just different things, such as, like, awareness. And that's what they really speak on, is just being aware of who you are and your relationship with Christ. It's a lot of stuff. Like, it would take me forever to explain it.
That's totally understandable. That's totally fine. I think that's really interesting, though. I haven't heard of a Christian denomination that wasn't cult-like, such as Mormonism whatever we were just talking about a second ago. But I haven't heard of a sect of Christianity like that that didn't believe that people get sent to hell. Or is that oversimplifying it?
No, that's really it. And it's like, at my age now, I'm still trying to understand it. Because I don't know, just for me, and just like, even when I was growing up, I was so confused at the fact, like, okay, if God loves us, and if God wants us to, you know, live with him and be with him, why would he send us to a place like that? You see what I'm saying? Like, why would he make us go to hell? And it's still something that I'm having to unravel on a daily basis. Like, why is that? Like, why does this place exist? And of course, you know, we have the stories of, you know, why Satan was this, and he was an angel turned bad, and he went to the hot place, and all these other things. But it's just like, but why would God still send us there? Because we do something wrong.
Yeah, that's really fascinating then. And you said your church is non-denominational?
Yes, it is.
Interesting, because so is mine. And they had a well, it's like I've told people before, that just means they were Baptist with a cool website. But
yeah.
We definitely, like,
we're
did
Baptist, but we're cool.
Right. We definitely did believe in the concept of hell and sending people to hell. In fact, that was one of the, I don't want to call it scare tactics, because it wasn't intentionally a scare tactic, but something that was very effective for me was the concept of hell and how much they talked about it. And that's why I got saved about 10 times during my course as a Christian.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That makes sense. It does.
Yep.
It's just like, for some people, like I said, for some people to understand my church really does talk about, it's more of like a spiritual thing.
Mm-hmm.
I recently went to a Bible study where they were talking about, I can't remember, like, I guess like spirits and seeing spirits and experiencing near-death experiences and stuff like that. And it's just like, I didn't even want to say anything because people were like, oh no, you can't do this unless God is involved and blah, blah, blah. And I didn't even want to say anything because I'm like, that's crazy. Like, I've experienced stuff like that. And I didn't want to, you know, seem crazy to them. And it's just like, I didn't want to freak them out. But I mean, those things are very true. And those things have happened. And they've happened to, like, other people that I've known too. So it's, I don't know. It can be kind of very confusing at times.
It's definitely a wonky subject. And I know Brittany Barnes was talking about that a couple episodes ago, how like she was talking about 98% of near-death experiences, which I did research that later, and that's not an accurate number. But she was talking about near-death experiences and how when people have those experiences, they see themselves kind of like floating outside of their body and like seeing their own body kind of wincing in pain and seeing their friend being distraught. But I have seen in my research of near-death experiences, most people who have one see their own God, be it Muslims see Allah, or Jews see Jehovah, Christians see Yahweh or whatever you want to call him. And in my research of that, it's just been basically your brain processing shock and just sort of releasing all of the chemicals all at once in order to try and do something. And all of those chemicals really mess with you, and you see whatever light, whatever being, whatever deity you choose to subscribe to.
That sounds about sounds about right, to be honest. Like, that's how it is. And that is, it's really, like I said, most of this stuff is so hard to explain, and it's just like you have to experience it, I guess. My grandmother has experienced it, and it's crazy. Like, actually going back to the accident I was telling you about before, I actually attended BCA. That's when she had experienced it, because she basically got the most out of the accident. Like, she got hurt the most.
Uh-huh.
And it was to the point where, like, she wasn't going to make it. Oh, you know? And that's where she was like, when she came to and we were able to see her and stuff, like, that's what she was telling us. She was like, yeah, I saw all this stuff. Like, I really wasn't here. And it's just like, we've heard other people say that. Like, we've actually had people come to our church and speak about it, because that's where they feel safe coming to talk about it. Because if they go and tell someone else at, you know, a different church with different religions, they'll be like, oh no, you're crazy, you need to go find a shrink, find something's wrong with you. And it's just like, I like my church because it's a safe space and you can talk about stuff like that, and it's not like you're not going to be judged or mistreated or your situation won't be mishandled.
Yeah, that's always a good thing. So one thing that I like to ask guests on this show who are still religious is, how did you come by your beliefs? I know that you talk about you've been at the same church your whole life. Did you ever go through a period of questioning and like deconstructing your own beliefs only to reconstruct them, or sort of have you believed this your whole life?
Oh my gosh, yes. I definitely went through a phase when I was like, I don't know what's going on. What do I even believe? And that was in college. And I was like, I was very lost for a minute. Like, I didn't know what was going on. I was just like, is this even really true? Like, for real? Do I really believe in all the stuff that has been taught to me for all these years? I would actually go to different churches and see, you know, how they were speaking or how they were talking to their congregations. I would look at stuff online. I would look at, even now, like, I'll look at a few churches just to see and compare and contrast how they're speaking. I try to stay away from the super big mega churches.
Smart.
Just because, yeah, I just feel like it's a ploy for money. I'm not going to lie. Like,
and you're smart to think like, that.
Okay. Yeah, I don't agree with that. Like, just like I don't agree why people should be millionaires and trillionaires. Like, why do you have all this money when people are literally fighting for their life on the street and
Absolutely.
You have all this money? But that's another story for another day. But yeah, I had to go through a point and a point of realization, like, okay, yeah, this is what you've been taught, but what do you like truly believe in? Because there's some times where I'll still see, like, some people are kind of still judging people because of different things. Like, I don't agree with that. But like I said, my church really isn't like that. And I'm so appreciative that they don't judge people on their life. Like, I've seen people come in off of their job as a stripper coming into my church, still in their clothes, and they are not being judged. Like, they are still being spoke to. They are still being prophesied to or anything like that. They're being treated well. But with my, I guess, realization specifically, I would say that I think I got to a really low point in college where I had to like really reach out to my pastors and just like ask for help on things that I didn't understand. And, you know, they made some things apparent to me. And, you know, some things I agree with, some things I didn't agree with. And that was okay. And they're like, that's cool. If you don't agree with it, that's fine. If you do agree with it, that's fine. You just have to come into whatever you believe in. Like, we're not telling you to believe everything that we teach, because we're not here to make it like, oh, well, you need to believe this, this, and this. Like, you believe what you believe, and whatever makes you feel good, that's fine.
Well, that's good. So how do you think you have changed as a Christian before and after your period of questioning?
So as far as that, I have realized that I am a silent Christian. Mm. So for me, like I said, I don't sell things well. And I'm not going to sell you your salvation. If you don't want to get to God, then you don't have to get to God. That is fine. But I'm not going to sit here and peck it into your brain and say, you need Jesus, you need Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, you're just going to hell. I'm not doing that. That's not my job. My job is to show God through my life. And that's by being good to others, by helping others when they need help, by being there, by being a good friend to people. If you need food, I got you. If you need, you know, a way to work, I got you. It's not something where I'm going to sit here and read the Bible with you all day and pray with you all day. But I mean, if that's what you want to do, we can do that. But do I want to? No. But we can. It's just, I think a good example of that is my grandmother. I would say that she's probably a pillar in our neighborhood, in our community. People know her. People know she used to have a restaurant in our neighborhood. Well, not our neighborhood, in like Burlington, but she's known for helping people, you know, taking care of people's children when they needed it, stuff like that. And everyone knows, like, oh, that's a woman who loves the Lord or follows God, and she's doing the Lord's work. Okay, that's cool. That's how I want to be. I'm not going to be someone who throws the Bible at your head and says, you need to remember all this stuff. Because to be quite frank, I don't agree with everything that's in the Bible. I'm not going to lie. Like, the Bible to me is like some things that were written by people back in that time period, and they just kept on like editing it, like Wikipedia, low key. And people have like, I think I said that to someone who went to BCA, and they're like, oh my God, why would you say that about the Bible? And I'm like, because it's kind of true.
Oh, like, I remember hearing a story in church one time, actually. My youth pastor was telling me this story about how there was this pastor of some church somewhere, I don't know where, but he was talking about how, like, he raised up the Bible and he said, I refuse to live my life within the boundaries of the four corners of this book. And went on to explain, like, the Bible is old and outdated and needs, you know, some culture updates and things like that. And he talked about it, the youth pastor talked about it, like, that was the worst possible thing in the whole world. And I agreed with him at the time. But if I were a Christian now, I would probably agree with that pastor.
Definitely. And it's like, that's basically what most Christians are. They are confined to those four corners of that book. And, you know, that's okay. That's fine. If they want to stay confined to those rules from that book, a book that was written eons of years ago by people who were here and there, it's basically like a big book of tons of authors. That's fine. You can believe that. But what I'm going to do in my daily walk is apply that book, the things that I do agree with, to things that I actually believe in, like, in a social aspect. Like, I believe in treating people good, and I believe if you treat others how you want to be treated, that's a good thing. Keeping the faith and doing stuff like that, yes, I agree with all of that. But some of the other stuff, I'm not going to agree with. Just because, why? Like, what's the point? Things change all the time, just like science changes. Like, people don't understand that.
Yeah, to sit here now, 2,000 years after the end of the book, that the book is done being written, and say, we still know everything right now, I think is incredibly arrogant.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm pretty sure people have been crucified for saying that, but it's I can't agree with it. Like, I can't agree with something that's been, I guess, quote unquote, set in stone. Like, no, not to me. And that's okay if people believe in that, but I can't believe in something like that.
Absolutely. So how do you feel about beliefs that are different from yours?
Oh, I accept them. I have friends who, like I said, they are from different religious backgrounds. I have friends who are Muslim, who practice Buddhism, things like that. I have friends who are Jehovah's Witnesses, and I've actually went to their services with them at Kingdom Hall. Like, I have no problem, you know, speaking about different religions or attending services or things like that, because I'm not a disrespectful person. I like, you know, attending things like that and looking at other religions from my point of view, just to see, like, okay, how do you do this? Because there's tons of religions, and I like learning about them. But I have seen people be disrespectful to other religions, and I have had to tell people, like, you shouldn't do that, because everyone doesn't believe in the same thing. Like, you have to be open-minded about these things. Like, I've had friends who are atheists, and they'll be like, well, why are you my friend? Because I'm an atheist, and I don't believe in God. That's fine. That's okay. That is your walk. If you don't believe in him, that's fine. And they're like, well, you're not going to, you know, try to bludgeon me with a Bible and tell me to do this, this, and this. No, that's not my job to convert you. Like I said, I'm going to treat you as a person, like, because you are one. And if you don't believe in what I believe in, that's cool. That's what some people need to understand with politics and food and all types of things. Just like I believe pineapple goes on pizza. If you don't believe that, that's cool. I'm still going to eat it.
More for me.
Exactly. It's more for me. And that's what I have to tell people. Like, you don't have to make it so that people are feeling bad because they don't believe in what you believe in. At the end of the day, they're going to do what they want to do. And I'll tell you what, I'm not going to stay up late at night thinking, oh my God, she's an atheist. Why does she not believe in God? What's wrong with her? Doesn't she know what he can do? Nuh-uh. Nope, I'm not losing sleep. I'm not losing sleep at all.
That's good. I can really respect that outlook. I know a lot of this show seems to be very, like, counter-religion. That's not the case at all. In fact, the belief group that I find myself most annoyed with is fellow atheists. I had a roommate not too long ago who told me that they, like, if they heard that someone was a Christian, they instantly hated them. Instantly hated that person, instantly rejected them, pushed them away. And that, A, is not doing any favors for atheism, and B, is no way to look at things. One question that I used to have in my question set for religious folks on this show was, how do you know that what you believe is true? But it turns out that's kind of an asshole question to ask. Because, like, you can only know so much. You can only know so far. But even with atheism, there is an aspect of faith to it. It's just different from what you see in most theist religions. So that's good that you have that basis of respect going into any philosophy or belief system. That's surprisingly uncommon in the Christian realm.
Absolutely, yeah. Like I said, Christians are lunatics, and I stand by that wholeheartedly. Like, I've went to school with Christians. I've seen people go to, you know, their little youth groups and stuff, and it's just like, to me, they can be some of the most hypocritical beings on this planet, in the galaxy, and it's just like, everyone is human, and that's fine. Like, we're all going to do things that we aren't proud of and blah, blah, blah. But it's just like, I don't agree with when you say, oh yeah, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't have sex before marriage, or you shouldn't smoke weed, or you shouldn't drink and blah, blah, blah. But yet you do it, and you're preaching at other people, don't do this and don't do that because, you know, God's not going to accept you, but you're steady doing it. That's very hypocritical for me. And I'm just like, how can you call yourself a Christian if you're being hypocritical? Didn't God say don't be a hypocrite? So where's the fine line about being right and wrong here?
Absolutely. Yeah. So what advice would you give to someone who's in the process of deconverting?
Be kind to yourself. You have a lot of unlearning to do. Just take your time and don't listen to others, because this is ultimately your choice. you don't have to listen to other people's opinions about things that you want to do in your life, especially when it comes to religion. If you feel yourself straying away from something that you see that you believed in for a long period of time, then that's okay. I always like to say, if you're doing something, do your research, of course. You can talk to someone who you trust and you feel is someone that will be open-minded with you. Like I said, I talk to my pastors about it because they are very open-minded people. And although I didn't really deconvert, I just had lots of questions about things I was confused about. And I just really appreciate them for being there, taking that time out when they didn't have to, but they did. And just say, you know, find that one person that you're truly comfortable with and they can, you know, walk through some things with you about what you're thinking about. And just be true to yourself, because at the end of the day, like I said, it's your decision on what you want to do and how what you believe in. Don't let someone else's choices and religious beliefs deter you from what you want to believe in. And if you don't want to believe in anything at all, that's cool too. That's fine. Believe in your puppy. Believe in yourself.
That's really good. That's excellent advice. Thank you, Essence.
Yeah.
Well, folks, that is all the time that I have for today. Essence, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed myself. I hope you enjoyed it as well.
Of course, I definitely did. And don't forget, folks, that you can follow the Doctrine Detox on Instagram at Doctrine Detox Pod and Twitter at Doctrine Detox. And if you want to support the show, you can just for free by leaving a 5-star review anywhere you're listening to this episode today, or if you want to support me more directly, you can through Patreon at patreon.com/doctrinedetoxpod. Plans start at just $1 a month and benefits start at $3 a month, where you get access to really cool things like episodes a day early and monthly Ask Me Anything posts, where you can ask me anything under the sun, doesn't have to be about religion, and I'll do my best to answer you. But anyways, folks, I really hope you enjoyed this episode with Essence. Thank you so much once again for joining me. And never, ever forget, folks, that everything is gonna be okay. The Doctrine Detox podcast is written, recorded, and produced by Adrian Cardwell. Special thanks to this week's guest, Essence Snipes. Original intro and outro music is Doctrine Detox by Adrian Cardwell.